This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, the Premier League is over. Yesterday was one of the most dramatic days we've ever seen, really, at the end of a Premier League season. Manchester City are the winners. They were a point in front of Liverpool. But for quite a while in the second half of the games, Manchester City looked very vulnerable. 2-0 down at home to Aston Villa, and it looked like it could be very bad news for them. I'm joined now by John Giles to talk about the weekend games, but also about the season in general. John, Manchester City 2-0 down with 20 minutes to go to Aston Villa, and they got 3 goals in 5 minutes. And a player that I don't think either of us quite appreciate or admire as much as Pep Guardiola does, Gundogan, who started on the bench, went on in the second half, and really 2 very important goals. First of all, what did you make of the match in general?
Well, as you say, City didn't have a good first half at all. I mean, it looked like it was all over. But this is part of the dramatic season we've had.
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't have put a two bob on City winning the game. You know, you say Gundogan came on, and Gundogan's got a free transfer, I mean,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
You know, and he has scored some valuable goals for him, but I wouldn't be a fan of his.
No, in fact, I misled you and our listeners. He didn't come on for the second half. He didn't come on until the 68th minute, which is they're 2 down. They're in trouble. And they were in trouble, weren't they? They weren't really playing as fluently. Say, Kevin De Bruyne, for example, who'd ripped Wolves apart last week. He wasn't doing it. They brought Sterling on earlier, who I did feel had an impact. But it was looking like one of those days, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it shows you what football is like, Eamon. How dramatic it can be. And that was one of the games we've seen them over the years, but that was one of the... You wouldn't have put two bob on Manchester City at that particular stage.
Yeah.
And then from nothing, you know, they fly off and get 3 goals in, what you say, is 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just incredible. But it shows you what the game is like. I mean, it's never over till it's over. And to be fair to City, they stuck at it and got the goals when it really, really mattered, as we know. I mean, this is to win the league or lose the league at that particular stage. So it's been an unbelievable season with the rivalry with City and Liverpool.
Yeah, and it's not the first season. You know, the 3 seasons ago, they were in the same situation. Liverpool driving them all the time, went down, lost by a point. But this was even more dramatic because of the last day scenario. And also, of course, for City, I would have thought, in Pep's mind and it maybe in the players' mind, we're out of the Champions League. We're not going to be in that next Saturday. We're not going to blow the league as well. That must have been adding to the pressure.
Huge pressure on them, Eamon.
Yeah.
And it went to the match. I mean, sometimes the pressure is on before you get to the game, but you get a good start and you get in front and you're okay. But this didn't happen. It looked like they were beaten.
Yeah.
So it's been a dramatic season. Liverpool have been terrific. But I must say now, with Pep in the league, I mean, they finished, I think, 5 goals better than Liverpool.
Yes.
Over the season.
Yeah.
Without a recognised scorer.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable, really. I mean, I just read that with Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool have been fantastic. But you've got Salah, Diaz, Mane, Jota, Firmino, Origi. You know, like, I wouldn't have backed City at all to start the season when the Harry Kane situation fell through.
And yes, yeah.
Left him without a regular goal scorer.
Yeah.
And to finish 5 goals ahead of Liverpool, I didn't realise it until yesterday that they scored more goals than Liverpool did. But it's been a great season for them. I mean, the season that Liverpool are having, especially if they go on now and win the Champions League game, we're glad to have the two of them.
Yes.
With the competition that they provide and the games they provide and the drama that they provide over a season. It's amazing.
You've been around a long time, John. I have too. But looking, I mean, people are saying, and I feel it myself, although I question myself as well about it, people talking about the best Premier League ever and the two best Premier League teams ever.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's a big statement because, as I think we said, we talked about it with Liam in the last 2 weeks, that's a hard call to make. What's your view, John? Let's take Liverpool first.
Yeah.
Now, where do they rank? Or should we even have this conversation? Because sometimes when you're saying somebody's as good as Pelé or better than Pelé, the greatest player of all time, those kind of comparisons aren't really helpful. Was Jack Nicklaus better than Tiger Woods and all that stuff? So we don't want to go down that rabbit hole. At the same time, Liverpool compared to the Kenny Dalglish, Ian Rush teams, Mark Lawrenson, Alan Hansen, Ronnie Whelan, great players that they've had down the decades.
Well, I think it's a very, very... Well, first of all, a lot of people who say these things are the best ever.
Yeah.
Some of them haven't seen the old teams.
Exactly, yeah.
They weren't there. They weren't born. No, you're going back to the first Liverpool, the great first Liverpool team under Shankly.
Yeah.
You know, they had a forward line of Callaghan, Hunt, St. John, Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, people wouldn't remember them. I mean, you obviously do, and I do.
I played against them. Yeah.
These were brilliant players.
Yes.
And then later on, you come along with the Paisley Liverpool team.
Yeah.
You know, the Keegan came into it, and then Graeme Souness and Alan Hansen.
Yeah.
Kenny, you know, like, these were great players. And it's very, very hard to compare them with each other.
Yes.
Because, first of all, the conditions of today with the grounds and the pitches is unbelievable. And like, in the old days when the old Shankly team and when Don Nye was playing, like, some of them would be mud heaps.
And
the standard had to be good. So, like, great teams are great teams in any era, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I mean? The Shankly teams could only do what they could do in their particular day.
Yeah.
And they were great players and great teams.
Yes.
And then Bob Paisley comes along with it, you know, and does... So it's very difficult to compare them because a lot of people who are doing the comparisons at the moment haven't seen the old teams.
Right. They don't know what they're talking about, in other words.
It's hard. I mean, these are a long time ago, but these were the great teams of their day and the great players of the day.
Yeah.
And I've always felt the great teams of years ago would be great players today. You know, you've got the really great Pelé and these guys. I mean,
yes.
You know, these were great players playing in the conditions that today would be a dream for them.
Yeah.
So you have to take what great players were great players. Liverpool team of their great team. And so the Liverpool team of the past.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very, very difficult to do it. I mean, if you ask me to pick the great teams of my time and when I played against them, I'd find it very, very difficult to do so.
Yeah.
Because they were great players. I mean, people remember, say, Graeme Souness, Alan Hansen, Kenny Dalglish,
Ian Rush.
Would they be able to play today?
Yes.
You know?
I think when I see Graham sometimes on the television, I think he fancies himself. I don't think he'd accept that he couldn't get in the present Liverpool side. Let me ask you another question, which I think is easier to answer. The general strength of the Premier League now, I give you my own opinion first, which is that it is much stronger than it's ever been, much richer in terms of the quality of football for the arrival of so many South Americans and European players. It's a much deeper league. Somebody like Wolves can go to Anfield and give Liverpool a big shock yesterday. And to be fair to Aston Villa, they put it up to Manchester City. Would you agree that it's stronger, more good players, yeah, more depth?
Yeah, there's certainly more depth in them. Now, we have the great players anyway. You know, if you go with, you know, Manchester City, Liverpool, for example.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great players in those teams. But what has happened over the years, I mean, again, I'll go back to my time. The money wasn't in England.
Yeah.
Or the English league, or first division in those days. Like, if you go back over it, John Charles, back in 1950s, I think it's 57, who was one of the great players of all times.
Yeah.
He sold from Leeds for 60 grand.
Yeah.
Like, and in our time, Italy became the fashionable place to go.
Yes.
Because they had the money.
Yeah.
And the money attracts the players, Eamon.
Yeah.
And what's happened in recent
And the coaches.
Time, and the coaches, of course. Yeah. I mean, you look at the Premiership now, the Premier League. Okay. There must be 50%, Eamon, what we would regard as foreign players.
Oh, yeah, at least, and I'm looking down the league table as we speak, and I'm only coming to the first British manager, if you like. It's David Moyes in seventh position, and Leicester with Rodgers in eighth position, Brighton, but all the top six managed by foreigners, and two of them but German, and of course, Antonio Conte at Spurs. And we've seen in his case what a difference a world-class coach can make. But just to go back to something you said before, it's hard to convey to younger people now the bumpy, bad pitches in the springtime, not so much the mud, but the dust and the state of the grounds was just appalling.
Yeah. And you had to get on with it, Eamon, because we didn't know anything better than those days.
Yeah.
You know, what happened was they used to have no drainage on the pitches.
Yeah.
So when you got into the summer, when it started, Eamon, the pitches were fine. But then it got to the rainy season around September, October, November.
Yeah.
And the rains came. And there was no drainage.
Yeah.
So it would the players would chew the place up.
Yeah.
You know, the grass up. And then you had no grass whatsoever.
Yeah.
And spring came in, and then it'd be a bit dusty, and it would level out a bit. But when you see the conditions today, they're unbelievable. But the Premiership and Italy or Spain, whenever it might be, wherever the money is, wherever it is, it attracts the best players and attracts the best coaches. And that's what's happened to the Premiership in recent times.
Yep.
Murdoch is the man who's done it with the television, Eamon.
Yeah.
He gives all the clubs, I think it's 150 million every season, right? And he's a very, very clever man. He knows if the Premiership bring in the best players, Eamon, they have the best league in the world, and you have people in America and China and that buying the Premiership.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should point out for the record that Rupert Murdoch doesn't own Sky anymore, but he did when they got involved in the Premier League, and that really was a transformational moment for the game in terms of, as you say, selling it to, there isn't a village in the world anywhere that wouldn't have access to it or doesn't want access to it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Let me ask you about your own club, Leeds, John. Fourth from the bottom, they escaped with a good win at Brentford yesterday. Brentford have been going really well, but Leeds went there with their new manager, Jesse March. They got the result they needed. It's been a narrow escape. And I know that you are not an emotional type of man. You're not likely to be sitting there with your Jurgen Klopp mask on. However, you were invested emotionally in this team because I spoke to you in recent weeks, and you really wanted them to stay up for emotional reasons as much as anything.
Well, as you know, Eamon, I was 12 years at Leeds.
Yeah.
And I had a great time there. The supporters were great. And these supporters came along at that time when Don Revie took over. Leeds weren't a well-supported team, Eamon.
No, Leeds is a rugby league town, I should explain.
Yeah, and cricket.
And cricket, yeah.
Yeah. So Leeds were and then Don Revie created a team that I was there for 12 years, and over those 12 years, they won a few trophies and got the crowd going. Two of the matches from all over the country.
Yeah.
And I must say, the support at Leeds in my time was brilliant.
Yeah.
They were really loved the club. They stuck with them. They've had bad times, as you know, and are there again.
Yes.
You know, and they're a great home crowd. There's no doubt about that. And there's a lot of them, Eamon, you know. And when I saw them at the matches and they were struggling, and I must say, I'd have to feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Because it means so much to them. Not just Leeds. Liverpool will be the same in Manchester. All the clubs are like that. But we're talking about Leeds at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm delighted for the players, for the fans, Eamon. They have done it. They've stayed up. Now they've got to get a grip of the whole thing and try not to get into the same situation again. Because the crowd they have are fanatical for Leeds.
Let me ask you about Marcelo Bielsa. He got them promoted. He got them playing an exciting, daring kind of football. Some people thought it was reckless, but he did it, and they gave him the boot, and they brought in an American, Jesse March. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm sorry that he was sacked, Eamon.
Yeah.
I think he did a great job.
Yeah.
And he didn't spend a lot of money.
No.
He didn't have the funds that some of the big clubs had had, and he got them from the time he went. His first year, he missed out in the playoffs. Then they got him up, and then they finished seventh. And I thought he was badly treated, to be quite honest. They were having a bad time, but he didn't spend much money. He didn't have a big squad, and I think there was three of his players, his main players, were injured.
Yeah, Phillips, a very important, and Bamford, the centre forward, the goal scorer,
yeah.
And Phillips, who is a current England international and in the team as a first-choice player and was in the Euros.
Yeah, so they didn't have the, the backup. Those players got Cooper, the captain, but he was injured as well.
Yeah.
So I felt sorry for Bielsa, because what the owner said at the end, that they weren't living up to their, he wasn't living up to their the performance, and that wasn't living up to their expectations. I mean, what did they expect? You know, here's a guy that came in, got them up from nowhere, didn't spend any money, and in my opinion, they should have, when the close players got injured, they should have backed him by getting players in. They didn't do that, and then obviously they were losing matches. But I must say, I thought he did a great job for him, and I was sorry.
Yeah,
I don't think he was treated very well when they were sacking him.
Now, Eddie Gray, a former teammate of yours and a close friend, of course, great player too. Eddie's still working for Leeds, and I understand new manager Jesse Marsh asked him to say a few words to the players on Friday about the history of the club and the responsibility that was on them.
Yeah, Eddie is still attached to the club, Eamon. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know in what capacity. He's not on the playing side anyway. But I believe that happened.
Yeah.
And Eddie would do that, you know. He's like an ambassador. Well, he is an ambassador for the club, as you say. He's one of the great players. So it didn't do any harm because they went on to win the match. But Eddie is a regular at the club and has been. He's been an ambassador for years and years.
Yeah.
He's a great pal of mine, and as you said, he was a great player. So he would be emotionally attached to the club.
Of course, yeah. And by the way, did you know that I was an ambassador for Millwall?
No.
No? There you go.
Are you kidding me now?
I'm kidding you, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm in the Hall of Fame as well. And I'm not kidding you about that. Did you know that Millwall had a Hall of Fame?
No.
Well, I'm in it.
No. Good for you. Well, you had 8 or 9 years there, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And they were a good team.
That was the only qualification. I'm sorry, John. We'll move on. I want to ask you, we've talked about Manchester United, and I'm sure Manchester United fans dread another conversation about how bad they have become, and yet they finished sixth in the league, and I think they qualify for the Europa League next season. And the new coach, Ten Hag, has had very successful time with Ajax. He's coming into what is really a daunting task, isn't it, John?
Definitely, I mean, one of the huge clubs in the world, Manchester United, and for them to be in the position that they've got themselves into now, is dreadful.
Yeah.
So they do need a good character in and a top class manager to do it.
Yeah.
I think if he is what Manchester United supporters hope him to be.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll take him the 6 years that the present interim manager talked about it.
Right. Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, they have the financial backing to get players into the club, plus what they have. You know,
well, I don't agree with you, John. I tell you what's interesting. First of all, I don't think they'll make the money available. Secondly, I think the players, the make the difference players, don't want to go to Manchester United anymore. It was once the destination of choice for great players, as you know. But Mbappe and Haaland, this new generation of outstanding players, they wouldn't even think about going to Manchester United. And that is a problem, isn't it, for a new coach for whom the expectations are very, very lofty.
That's a good point, Eamon. But I don't think it'll take that long for the players who see the potential there, and if the money's gone out to them.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think it'll take 2 years at least to get on the move.
Yeah.
But I think once they get on the move, I don't think it'll take the 6 years that people are talking about. I mean, you have to go back to Ferguson's time, Eamon, when he took over.
Yeah.
Right? It took him 3 years.
3 years, John, and he was lucky in a kind of way. There was one game, I think it was a cup game against Oxford United, and it was being said in the media before that match, if they were knocked out by Oxford United, he was gone.
Yeah, and they won.
Yep.
They won, kept him gone.
Yeah, fella, Paul Robbins got the goal.
He was very nearly sacked at Pontius Schneider.
Yeah.
But they didn't sack him, Eamon.
No.
But it took him 3 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when he took over, it was a shambles. Well, not as bad as it is now, but when he took over, it was a shambles. So I think they have the resources. I think they will attract big players, Eamon. You know, it's still Manchester United. He's a big job to do. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
He's going to have to really, we know he's done a good job where he is now. We know that. But can he do it at Manchester United? But if he's the real McCoy, I don't think it will take him anywhere near 6 years.
Okay.
But if you look at his present situation at Spurs, Eamon.
Yeah, well, I was just coming to Spurs, John, because
with Conte,
it kind of proves your point. Yeah.
Like he's only there what 3-4 months, 5 months.
Yeah.
He signed a couple of players. I think he signed 3 players. They've been good players, but they haven't been big. They haven't been big signings by any means.
No.
But look what he's done with them, Eamon.
Yeah.
The same players.
Yeah.
You know, you get a good manager, and if this guy is good as he's supposed to be, I don't think it'll take him anywhere near 6 years.
Right. Now, the question of Manchester City and the Champions League, John, they failed repeatedly, and Pep has failed at Bayern and indeed at Manchester City to win the Champions League. Is there any significance for you in that, or is it just one of those things?
I think it's just one of those things, Eamon. I personally don't put as much importance on the Champions League
as the Premier League.
As the Premier League.
Yeah, well, that's what Pep said on Friday. He said winning the Premier League is tougher, and he ranks it above winning the Champions League, which I don't agree with, but I can see where he's coming from. I can see where you're coming from.
I agree with him, Eamon, for what it's worth.
Well, because, it's worth a lot, John.
Yeah. Well, if you go over it, they're playing 38 matches, Eamon.
Yeah.
In the Premier League. That's 38 matches. You don't play that many matches, and against some of the opponents of the quality that you have in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't forget, Chelsea won the Champions League last year.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make them a better team than Manchester City?
Not on the stats, John, because they're 19 points behind them in the Premier League.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's great to win the Premier League, Eamon. Well, funny enough, Eamon, when I was at Leeds, I played in what was then the European Cup final.
Yeah.
We didn't win it.
Yeah.
Okay. But we won the league twice, and those days it was 42 matches.
Yeah.
And I always felt, as a professional footballer, that they have to have that consistency over 42 matches, Eamon.
Yeah.
Right? And that's hard work.
Yes.
And now it's only 38 matches now. If you look at the Premiership now, Manchester City have to overtake or beat Liverpool, Chelsea,
Spurs.
Arsenal,
Spurs, Man U,
all these top clubs, Eamon.
Yeah.
You don't get that quality in the Champions League.
That's true.
Actually, most of the quality now is coming from the Premiership.
Yep. Yep.
Now, that's only my opinion. Of course, but I wouldn't rate Guardiola or anybody on not winning the Champions League.
Okay. Now, that's interesting. No, it's interesting, and I think I kind of agree with it. And when you put it that way, except in his case, he went to Germany to the club that is all-powerful, it has just won its 10th successive Bundesliga, and they failed in the Champions League. He's come to the wealthiest English club. He's been there 5 seasons, I think, and he hasn't won the Champions League. And the other two coaches who were there before him at City, they both won the Premier League, because with City's resources, John, it would be hard not to win the Premier League. If they, I mean, among the players they left on the bench yesterday in their hour of greatest need was the £100 million man, Grealish, which is extraordinary. And in this morning's papers, the first guy out in the town, Jack Grealish, with a pint, saying we stayed out until 3 o'clock in the morning. So maybe there's a connection there.
Well, he paid that money for him, Eamon. That's one player.
Yeah.
But you have to take his overall record. I mean, that's 4 years out of 5 he's won the league.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest league in the world, Eamon.
There's no doubt about that.
You know, when he was at the German league, I mean, they went into the didn't win it with them. He won it twice with
Barcelona. Yeah.
Barcelona. I just don't see it as the the team to win.
No, no,
I really don't. I'd rather win. I'm on top now as an ex-pro. I want to play for him.
Yeah.
I'd rather win the league because it's week in, week out. And in the Premiership now,
yes,
they've got maybe four of the five of the best teams in Europe.
Yes.
And you're playing them. You have to play them twice a year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at his record from yesterday, I mean, what's he got? 93 points, Eamon, or something.
Yeah, 93 points, Liverpool 92, and the next on the list is Chelsea with 74.
Absolutely. And 74 won the Champions League. They won the Champions League last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's only my take on it. Other people say, well, you have to win the Champions League. Well, Chelsea did it. But were they a better team than Liverpool or Manchester City last year? You know?
Yeah. I think the point is well made. And I think it's a very interesting debating point. And essentially, I agree with you for this one reason that in the moment we're in is that the teams around Europe, John, in Spain, Italy, Germany, are weak.
Yes. That's the point I'm making them anyway. Yeah. Because the money is attractive to everybody. Yeah. Club, and the Premiership have that. So they're actually attracting the best players in the world. And if you have to win the Premier League now, you have to play against all these terrific teams.
Yes.
And players.
Yes.
You know, that's my, I don't want to bore you with it, but that's my take.
No, I don't think you're boring anybody. Now, what I want to do finally, John, because we're going to be speaking to Liam tomorrow, who's unavailable today, and he's going to give me his player of the year and his coach of the year, and I'm going to give my own player of the year and coach of the year. And I'm sure our listeners will be interested. Your player of the year, John?
I would go for Salah.
Right.
From Liverpool, I mean. I think he's been fantastic. I think Liverpool have been fantastic, you know. I mean, City just pipped them for the league, and they're in the Champions League, and they won I mean, they've had a great season.
Yes,
and he scored
23. I think he got one yesterday. I think he scored 23. I think Son of Spurs pipped him. Yeah, he scored 24 and wins the Golden Boot. But Mo Salah, although in Salah's case, since the African Cup of Nations, where he and Mane both had to go, and both their countries, Egypt and Senegal, got to the final. There was extra time in the semi-final and the final. And I think since Salah's come back from that, it was quite a draining experience. He hasn't quite been as effective.
No, it's too many games, Eamon.
Yeah.
You know, the players are only human. There's too many games and the travelling and all the various things that Salah had to do.
Yeah.
But if you look at the season if we go over the season, which we're talking about, I mean, for Liverpool to be doing what they're doing, and he's been the main man as far as the goal scoring has been concerned, and the making the goals. So that'd be my choice.
Right. Now, your coach of the year, John.
Again, I'd have to go for Conte.
Yeah.
At Spurs, he's able to show in a major way what can be done when you have a good manager.
Yes.
Spurs were going nowhere.
Yeah.
Manchester United are down and out at the moment because they haven't had a manager for 4 or 5 years. But he was able to show, with a group of players, Eamon, getting a grip of them, getting it organised, getting the spirit right, being all the things that you need to do. And he's proven it before, as we know, in the past.
Yeah.
We're coming to Spurs where it's not easy with the boss there to do. And he's shown that it can be done with the same players. I know he's got a couple of players in, but he hasn't spent big money by any means in doing so.
Right.
So, I'm a big fan of his anyway, Eamon, but I would go for him this year on what he's done with Spurs. Now, there's other great managers, Klopp doing what he did, Guardiola's doing what he did, but he hasn't had the resources and he's had to do it on the run. He hasn't had much time to do it. But the change that he's made in them to qualify them from the Champions League, I think is a brilliant job.
Right. And I'm going to give you my manager of the year, and our listeners, of course, Antonio Conte. I agree with you. I think he's done a brilliant job at Spurs, getting them into the Champions League next season, getting Harry Kane going again, getting Son going again, turning Eric Dier into a player, which we never thought we'd see, John. And as you say, he went to Juventus and got a couple of players there, and he has done a fabulous job. I find it much more difficult to pick a player of the year, but I'm going to go for Andy Robertson of Liverpool. I think he's a brilliant fullback. He's a brilliant defender. His attacking play is superb. I think he's one of the most important players in the team in terms of G'ing up the other guys when things are a bit flat. A real good player. I know you share my admiration for him, don't you?
He's great. He's great, Eamon. He's a good. He hardly gets a mention, really, with the top players that Liverpool have.
Yeah.
But week in, week out, the first thing you're looking for players, Eamon, is attitude.
Yes.
Do they have the right attitude? Because we know a lot of players who have the ability but don't have the attitude. He's a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
No fuss, no bother. No. Gets on with the job. He's not looking for any headlines. He's not looking to be one of the stars.
Yeah.
He is one of the stars. But he just gets on with the job. He's a brilliant defender. He makes a certain amount of goals. But he's just a really top player that as a manager you'd want in your club.
Yeah, he scored. He rarely scores, but he scored in Liverpool's hour of need yesterday. He scored a third goal in the 90th minute. But final point about him, John, $8 million he cost from Hull City. So it just goes to prove, doesn't it? And we know, I think we've talked so many times before, publicly and privately, about how resourceful Liverpool have been with players like that.
Brilliant, Eamon. I'll tell you just there, Eamon. I think the fee was so low that I think it was in his contract and some of the other players' contracts that if they went down,
right, that's right,
they could go for. I see somebody else
Harry Maguire.
Harry Maguire went, didn't he?
Yeah,
to Leicester at that time.
If the paper,
that was a great move.
If the Manchester gossip is right, Harry can go back for $8 million as well. But that's not
You're
fair.
You're being cruel now.
I am, yeah. Anyway, John, thank you very much for joining us on the stand all through the season and giving us the benefit of your unique wisdom. We're very grateful to John Giles, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.